Welcome to the fifth edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition. And the team that we'll be discussing is the Utah Jazz. What a season the Utah Jazz had. They finished as the sixth seed in the NBA. They were up 3-1 over the Denver Nuggets. And they ended up blowing the 3-1 lead to the Denver Nuggets. They once again fell in the first round of the NBA playoffs. We look at the last about 3 years, the Utah Jazz have been in the playoffs. They've been pretty much a first-round exit almost every year, excluding the year, I believe it was 2017 or 2018, when they made it to the second round and eventually lost to the Houston Rockets. But you know, we look at the Utah Jazz, they were a team where we thought they could make a run, especially in that offseason. They traded for Mike Conley, who was still in his peak. You know, he was still in all-star form. They added Bogdan Bogdanovic, you know, in the offseason from the Indiana Pacers to the Jazz. And they had an okay record. I mean, 44 wins, you know, it's a great season, but in the Western Conference, only being held to a sixth seed. And being a first-round exit, it's kind of one of those, where do you go from there? And I'll direct to you that question, Caleb. If you're the Utah Jazz, you've been a team that's a first-round exit the last couple of years. You just blew a 3-1 lead to the Denver Nuggets. What do you do? Like, do you trade either Mitchell or Gobert? Do you rebuild, or do you just try and sort of retool the team?
Man, that's a really good question, because they could go a lot of ways and with what they want to do. You know, after seeing them play, they definitely do have a lot of talent. I believe they didn't have Bogdan Bogdanovic in the series because he didn't report to the bubble. I think English was there, but I don't think they had him, and he's a big piece, you know? So maybe if they have him, they get Denver out of there, and Denver doesn't have the success story that they do this year. And maybe we're talking about Denver in a different light right now. So the chips kind of, you know, fell where they fell. But as far as the team and what you want to do, I think they just try to add a couple more pieces. And when a guy becomes available that they can get, why not make it happen? So, for example, you know, there's this guy named Bradley Beal. He's kind of been a trade target. You feel me? And I mean, you pair Bradley Beal with Mitchell and Gobert, you're not gonna have to worry about the scoring on the West Coast. You got two of the best scorers that could get it done. You're just gonna have to worry about other things. Maybe not even defense, because you got Gobert, Defense Player of the Year. You know, you're just gonna have to worry about the other team things, getting a playmaker, getting somebody who could defend. So I think right now they reconstruct the team and kind of build, and they do have the trade targets to give up: Mike Conley, Jordan Clarkson, Joe Ingles, and Bojan Bogdanovic, and a pick can get you somebody pretty good if a team's trying to win right now. So, I mean, they definitely have the ammo to make a move. It's just about when the right guy becomes available. If they can get their hand in the pot, then stir some shit up and see what you can pull out. But other than that, I think, yeah, they basically just reconstruct and build. What would you do? What do you think? What would you do?
What I would do if I were the Utah Jazz, I would look at trade options for Rudy Gobert, and I would only trade him if I can't pass up the trade offer. Like, say, for example, a team that's potentially in the top 15. So say if somehow if the Boston Celtics want Rudy Gobert. The Boston Celtics right now have the Grizzlies' 14th pick in the NBA draft. If I'm the Utah Jazz, the Boston Celtics offer me a trade offer, I want at least the 14th overall pick and maybe two other bench pieces, maybe like a Daniel Tice if he isn't a free agent, or an Enes Kanter to replace him. But I think if you're the Utah Jazz.
Wait. You said you would trade Gobert for the first round 14th pick and Enes Kanter?
Well, if you want to break the team up, because if you look at where the Jazz are situated in the Western Conference, I don't think they can compete with the Lakers. I don't think they can compete with the Clippers. They just blew a 3-1 lead to the Denver Nuggets. The Golden State Warriors are going to be back. There's the Houston Rockets at 5, so right then and there, and that's without including the Dallas Mavericks who are right there. You look at the Jazz, they're kind of in the middle, and in my opinion, if I'm the Jazz, I have to take a good hard look at ourselves in the mirror and say, can we win with Mitchell and Gobert? I'm keeping Donovan Mitchell 100%, but it's kind of who are you going to get on the side of it? And it's one of those where obviously I keep Rudy Gobert 100%. But if the Boston Celtics are willing to offer me a 14th overall pick, I have two first round picks, a number 14 pick and a 23 pick. Maybe I could use those two trade packages to get into a top 10 pick and draft a fantastic young rookie player. That's just from the perspective of the Jazz that I would look at. Caleb, I have to stop you.
Because I honestly, we're talking about Gobert, and you can get more than a 14th pick.
Like, well, yeah, and obviously more Boston picks, like if maybe you're talking first about, next year.
Huh?
You would also have to ask for more, like multiple picks, and at least a role player or two.
Like who? You said Daniel Tice or Enes Kanter. You better get the 14th and Jaylen Brown, the 14th and maybe Hayward to come back if you want to take on his contract, and Marcus Smart. Maybe get Marcus Smart for sure. Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward, Kemba, JB, or Tatum is coming out from Boston.
All right.
Otherwise, you could trade Gobert to another team and get a top 10 pick. You could trade Gobert to Golden State and get the second pick. I think they accept that because then you got Gobert, Wiggins, Clay, and Steph.
Yeah.
And Draymond.
And how you look at it from that perspective, just think Gobert's only got a year left on his contract. If the Jazz think that they're not going to re-sign Gobert and they don't think they're going to be winning this year, I think they could look at trade options for Rudy Gobert. Just an idea that I threw out there. I mean, it would be interesting if the Jazz were to trade up to number 2 from Golden State. Maybe they include a package of getting Andrew Wiggins and a number 2 overall pick for Rudy Gobert. Maybe you could see that happen, but it was just a thought in mind that I had. I also, Caleb, would agree.
I had to reanalyze the trade, retool the trade target.
Yeah, I could also see the Jazz keeping the duo together and just kind of retooling the team because you were right. They did not have Bogdan Bogdanovic in the bubble, and maybe he could have played an impact. But you also have to look at and simply say to yourself, how's Mike Conley going to do? Because the first year with Mike Conley did not really go well. He was not good in Utah. His age started to show during the season. Obviously, you know, when the pandemic went on, the season went to a halt. They went into the bubble, and Conley had, I honestly would say, a great 2 to 3 games against the Denver Nuggets. Like, Mike Conley's play was why they were up 3-1. And it seemed like kind of after that game 5 game, things started to go downhill, and so did Mike Conley. So it's one of those where do the Utah Jazz give Conley another chance? Because you look, they give up a lot to get Mike Conley. Like, they give up a lot of role players. I think they give up like Jay Crowder, Grayson Allen, maybe a second round pick to get Conley because he thought he would be that third piece.
I honestly think he was worth it. I do.
I think so as well. I just think it was his first year in a new system and it didn't really work out as expected. So I personally don't think the Jazz will go full rebuild. I just think they have to find some pieces to retool And hopefully they can try and compete in the near future, because like I stated beforehand, you could name a lot of teams that are competing before the Utah Jazz. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they will utilize this offseason and, in fact, utilize a draft. And let's talk about the NBA draft. The Utah Jazz right now in this draft, they have the 23rd overall pick. And this is a website that I found on Google on SBNation.com. They were projecting Utah Jazz with the 23rd overall pick to be selecting Jalen Smith, the power forward out of Maryland. Caleb, I mentioned that projection to you. What are your thoughts on that? Would you agree with the Utah Jazz if they were to take Jalen Smith, the forward out of Maryland, with their 23rd overall pick? Or do you think they go with a different route?
To be honest, I really don't even know about Jalen Smith, so I can't agree because I don't know too much about him. I'm big on the guards in this draft. There are a lot of talented guards in this draft that can shoot, play make, so many talented guards. And at 23, you're gonna get the last of the bunch, you know. So I think if Tyrell Terry is there, he's a kid that I just seen and he kind of grew up locally, and he has a tray, and that's what Utah needs. If they could just surround their team with more shooters, say maybe somebody aggressive like Jalen Smith is the last name, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, maybe somebody aggressive like Jalen Smith. Yeah, you said he's a power forward, so he's somebody that can demand some double teams, get a bucket in the post, in the mid-range. Maybe he is a good option. But if they could get somebody else that could pull the trigger and create and not have to have Jordan Clarkson have the ball in his hands, or Royce O'Neal have the ball in his hands, because they don't have a true secondary point guard that comes in and controls the tempo of the game like a point guard would after Mike Conley. So I think with this draft, you have a good bunch of guards. If they can go address something like that, either in this draft or in free agency, I think we could expect them to compete and go to the second round, you know, for sure. I mean, they were at game 7 this year and they just blew the lead, and it happens to the best of teams, the best team with the best record ever in the NBA blew a 3-1 lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely does happen. And here are some stats for Jalen Smith. He was a 6'10 big man. He actually shot 37% from three, but he only attempted about three shots a game, 75% on his free throw. So it'll definitely be interesting to see how the Jazz kind of approach the draft. In my humble opinion, Caleb, I would also agree. I wouldn't be surprised if they go with the guard route, because, I mean, they kind of look at, you know, Mike Conley and say, you know, Mike Conley, he's starting to get up there in age. If we decide to let him walk in free agency, you know, that'll be something that we have to look at and see, because we look at in the next year, 2021, Mike Conley is going to be a free agent, as well as Rudy Gobert, Ed Davis, Donovan Mitchell, a restricted free agent, Tony Bradley, Georges Niang. So we look at, they could very well go into this draft. If they want their point guard of the future and want to move off of Mike Conley, they could do that as well. But, you know, I think they couldn't go wrong. You know, if the best available prospect at 23 is Jalen Smith, I think they could go with that route. But if they think they could, if somehow maybe like a Trey Jones can fall to them at a 23, I wouldn't be surprised if they went that route either. So it's one of those where the Utah Jazz got a lot of options. They could either go a guard route or they could simply go with the power forward route. You got plenty of options to choose from. Let's move on to the free agents the Utah Jazz have to deal with after this season. So here are the free agents so far for the Utah Jazz. There are 6 players, Caleb, and I want to ask you, what players out of those 6 do you think the Jazz should prioritize to keep? So Jordan Clarkson is an unrestricted free agent. We got Emmanuel Mudiay, Juwan Morgan, Rajon Tucker, Jarrell Brantley, and Justin Wright Foreman. Out of those six free agents the Utah Jazz have, who do you think the Utah Jazz should put the most priority in bringing back this upcoming offseason?
Jordan Clarkson. And I think they should let everybody else test the market and see what they can do with the money that they have. What do you think? What would you do?
I'd also have to agree with you as well. I'd have to go with Jordan Clarkson. I mean, I feel like with Emmanuel Mudiay, I feel like you offer him a contract that you think best suits him. And if he simply wants more, then you just simply say, you know what? You don't need Emmanuel Mudiay. We'll just get a draft. We'll just draft a guard to, you know, eventually replace his production. But yeah, I'd agree with you as well. I would go with Jordan Clarkson. I think Jordan Clarkson is a fantastic guy that can be used off the bench, especially, you know, if Donovan Mitchell gets into foul trouble or, you know, if somehow he gets hurt or he's on limited minutes, Jordan Clarkson is a guy that you can use to help perfectly fill in the mold. I mean, he had some bright spots with the Lakers. You know, Jordan Clarkson was also all right on the Cavs, you know, when they made the run of the finals in 2018. You know, he was a key part in that, helping being, I believe, that starting shooting guard at the time. So Jordan Clarkson is a guy where you love to have him come off the bench. And I think what the Jazz will do is they'll offer him. And what's great is they have bird rights on Jordan Clarkson. So it's one of those where they have the rights to him. They'll offer him whatever they want. And especially with the 2020 free agency class not being filled with as many stars. I mean, there's some main ones like Anthony Davis, possibly Drummond, DeRozan, Hassan Whiteside. But other than that, it's kind of a little bleak. So you look at, if you're the Jazz, your best bench piece is Jordan Clarkson. He's the guy I believe the Utah Jazz should prioritize and bringing back. I want to bring upon another question. With the Utah Jazz, obviously, Quinn Snyder has been the coach for the Utah Jazz for a couple years. Caleb, do you think Quinn Snyder is coming into the season on the hot seat?
That's a very good question. Maybe. I think maybe. I think you'd have to see how he does. If it's another first-round exit, I think they'll think about it. I think it's not with full intentions, like, oh, we're thinking about firing him right now. Like, no, I just think it's like they'll reflect on the year after this year and make a decision from there on. But I don't know if he's on the hot seat, like, right now.
Yeah, and I'll even give his coaching resume. He has been with the Utah Jazz since 2014. Mm-hmm. And in those years, he's been with the head coach of the Utah Jazz. They have made the playoffs, I believe about four times in his coaching career here. Let me look at and see and make sure that I am correct on that. Yes, he, in his coaching career with the Utah Jazz from 2014 to 15 to present day, so that's about 6 years. He has made the playoffs four times out of those 6 years, and he has made it to the second round only twice. Only twice he's made it to the second round. So my humbled opinion is, I think after he blew the 3-1 lead, I think his seat is hot, because I think the Jazz front office is looking at it and say, when 2021 hits, we got Donovan Mitchell, who's a restricted free agent. We got Rudy Gobert, who's an unrestricted. Mike Conley is unrestricted. The big three that I pretty much tried to assemble. I think it could be a scenario where if the Utah Jazz underachieve again, and by underachieve, I mean, like, if they don't make it past, you know, the first round, I think Quinn Snyder will be fired. What's hard for me is, I don't think you could really fire Quinn Snyder if they lose in the second round, because if they do potentially get a top five seed next year, you got to think the number one seed is either going to be the Lakers, the Clippers, either the Lakers, Clippers, or Golden State. And if you look at those three teams compared to what the Jazz have, it's kind of like, how do you expect to compete with that? Like, it's very hard for the Jazz to compete with that. So I think his seat is hot. I think he'll be fired if they either don't make the playoffs or lose in the first round again. So it's that's my humbled belief on Quinn Snyder and the Utah Jazz. That's just a question, Caleb, that I brought to you just to see kind of your thoughts on, because, you know, he's entering year seven as a head coach with the Utah Jazz. And it's kind of almost like, as a head coach, you know, if you haven't brought any progress to your team in like 3 to 4 years, that's when your time is kind of ticking. So that'll be the thing. Like, whenever new head coaches are hired, they kind of have, in my opinion, 3 to 4 years to rise up a team, especially if it's like a rebuilding team. Like, that would be my humble opinion with a rookie coach, you know, with the New Orleans Pelicans. Stan Van Gundy's on the clock in New Orleans. If he doesn't improve the Pelicans in 2 to 3 years, he could very well be out of a job as a head coach as well. So that's just kind of something I think some NBA fans should take note of. I mean, I think we could have made the same case for Frank Vogel. If he didn't elevate the Lakers in 2 to 3 years, he would have been out as a head coach. But obviously, Frank Vogel won a championship, so he's there to stay for a while. Hopefully, Quinn Snyder can bring good things to Utah. I mean, they haven't been championship caliber since the 90s with Karl Malone and John Stockton. Hopefully, they could try and go far this upcoming season in 2020-2021, which begins on December 22nd, which all NBA fans are excited about. And I want to close out today's edition of the What Would You Do NBA Offseason Edition with the Utah Jazz. And I'll kind of direct this to you, Caleb. How far do you believe the Utah Jazz can go in the 2020-2021 NBA season?
I think they could go as far to the second round. It just depends on, you know, who they attack in free agency, who are they able to get. They don't have too much of the cap space, you know, unless they make some. And that comes with the moves being made. So we haven't seen any of that. With the season starting December 22nd, we're probably not going to see a lot of that. A lot of teams are probably going to run it back with it, what they have, and survey the free agent mark. I mean, the free agent market lightly, because, you know, the pitches are going to be a lot different to these players. I don't know if the NBA is going to be in a bubble or not, but it's definitely going to be a different season. And, you know, the pitch of living in LA and being in LA and playing basketball might not be the pitch anymore, because we're in a bubble in Orlando. So we have to find other things that attract these players right now. So with that being said, I think it really depends on what they do in the offseason. We discussed that. So they could end up, you know, a team that's easily a first-round exit again, or they can go to the second round and compete. But either way, I see them as no slouch. Any series that they're in, they're going to compete. They're going to give the team a run for their money, and they're going to play a good game of basketball every night. Like, they're not going to go out there and get their ass whipped. It's someone like Portland. Like, no matter what, Portland and those guys are good down there, but they don't have enough to win on paper. But they're going to compete and make sure that their opponent, you know, feels it every night. And if they clearly lost, if they lose, you know, you can clearly tell why. So there are no slouches. They're going to compete with anybody in the West. They might not have enough power to overtake stuff.
I personally have to agree with you as well, Caleb. I think the furthest the Utah Jazz will go is the second round. I feel like they're one of those teams where they could be, I think their peak is at least the fourth seed. That, and when you look at, when you're positioned in the fourth seed, if you make it past the first round, you got to play the number one seed, the best team in the Western Conference. And in my opinion, that's either going to be the defending champion, Los Angeles Lakers, Los Angeles Clippers, or the Golden State Warriors. And I don't think the Jazz could beat those teams. Now, one thing I will say is if they fall down lower, if they get like a six or seven seed, and they win the first round series, they could maybe make a run. But I think with Quinn Snyder at the helm, with Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Mike Conley, I just don't think that's enough to compete in the Western Conference. I mean, you look at the Lakers, they just won a championship with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and they look like they're going to be staying for a couple years. So looks like they're going to be reigning supreme for a little bit. And also you got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I expect them to have bounce back seasons, especially with their meltdown in the playoffs. Golden State Warriors are back with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. So it's one of those where the Utah Jazz are a team where, like you said, Kev, they're going to give it their all. You know, they're not going to be an easy pushover. If they make it to the playoffs, they're going to push a good 6 to 7 games. But I think when push comes to shove, their peak is going to be in the second round. And it also depends on what they do in the offseason. If they get very aggressive and make it somehow pull off a trade for Bradley Beal, and you're able to keep Gobert and Mitchell, I think that's when you could put their names up there with teams that can compete in the West. But for now, the players that they have, I think their peak is going to be the second round.
Yeah. And, you know, depending on how the cards fall, man, they can fuck around and be like how Denver was this year. Do you expect Denver to be back in the Western Conference Finals next year? I don't know.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait to see. That's the beauty of the NBA offseason, because you never know what teams are going to do. You could only give predictions on what you think will happen, but, you know, we'll see if the Utah Jazz take notes. And that concludes this edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition. Caleb and I signing out.
Yes, sir.